Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from the Emory-Riddle Aeronautical University Worldwide Campus, providing students from all 50 states and 119 countries with innovative education and opportunities for success. More at erau.edu/ww.
This is Spotlight, Central Florida Public Media's arts, culture, and entertainment segment. I'm Nicole Darden-Creston. The Spotlight is on now. The grand opening of the brand new Winter Park Playhouse is scheduled for next week. But wait, you might say, I've seen shows by that company for decades. And you'd be right. Winter Park Playhouse has been producing musical theater for almost 25 years at its homey Orange Avenue Theater and bringing in a reported $2 million a year to the local economy in the process. But after the space was almost sold in 2024, Winter Park Playhouse's founders partnered up with the city of Winter Park and won an $8 million grant from Orange County that not only let the playhouse stay in the now city-owned building, but also allowed the theater to refresh and rebuild from the ground up. Executive Director and co-founder Heather Alexander takes us on a whirlwind tour through the spanking new facility and tells us what happens next.
And starting from the outside in, we used to have two single door entrances. One had steps and one had a ramp. Now we have this gorgeous landing out front with two double doors and ramps coming up to a platform with a Broadway quality permanent canopy with lights underneath and a marquee. It's very, very theatrical. And then when you walk in the door, the lobby has all been refreshed, all new walls, all new floors, beautiful chandeliers. I promised our patrons we would keep the character and we would keep all our antiques and our beautiful old furniture. So that still lives there in the lobby space. Straight ahead where the administrative offices used to be is now a designated cabaret room. We have a Spotlight Cabaret series that we do monthly where we feature a professional singer and piano player in a 1 hour kind of concert. And the whole vibe is very intimate. Only 72 people at 17 tables. We've got some bar stools. It's got its own little bar. So that's totally different. We never had that before. It's really, really exciting and a completely different energy than the theater. Brand new restrooms. We used to have three toilets for women. We now have eight. They're losing their minds over the sides of the bathrooms. And as you pass the restrooms, then you move into the theater. And we used to have 123 seats. We're now up to 171, which is tremendous. We sell out all the time. So this is going to allow us to serve so many more people. And we made a band loft. So now our live musicians for every show are elevated upstage so the audience can see them, but they're not taking up a portion of the stage. So it's great for acoustics. And then behind the stage, we've got all new rehearsal hall with mirrors and a union approved floor, dressing rooms with restrooms and showers, which we've never had, and a laundry room for the first time. So lots and lots and lots and lots of changes. And I'm exhausted.
I bet you are.
My respect for more than doubling the number of women's restroom facilities.
I literally joke that when I was telling the audiences throughout the journey, when I would do my curtain speech before our performances and I would give them whatever the new update was for the week or month. And when I told them that we were going to have that many restrooms, I said, I honestly think you're more excited about the toilets than the art because they're just so excited.
That's an important and often overlooked feature, in my experience.
Agreed.
Just so folks understand, let's talk about the funding and when it went through and how this all came about funding-wise.
Yeah, it's been a pretty long journey. So in March of 2023, when I went to renew our lease for our building that we'd been in this entire time, I was informed unexpectedly that they were going to be putting the building on the market the very next week. So immediately went into damage control, called the city of Winter Park. It's not like we didn't expect this day to come, but we weren't expecting it at that very moment. So we started looking for other properties. I immediately asked the landlords to extend our lease. And God bless them, they ended up extending the lease three more times as we went through this grant process. So as fate would have it, the Orange County Cultural Facilities Tourism Grant came available in 2024. But you had to prove that you attract the visitor market.
And you are able to prove that you do so.
We absolutely do. At least 20%, typically 20 to 23% of our patronage comes from outside the five county area. We've got an amazing number of bus groups and visitors who come in from all over the country and the world. Our Florida Festival of New Musicals is a fabulous international event, and we have writers and their families and friends coming in each summer. Based on where they live, they almost exclusively are out of Florida. Once in a blue moon, we'll have a writing team from Florida, but they come from out of state. We've got tour operators. We've got visitors who are traveling in from Georgia, North Florida, South Florida, on the regular. And that speaks to the quality of the art, our reputation, the fact that we are the only professional musical theater in this region, and we don't do the big Broadway musicals, right? So you're not going to see what you're going to see at Dr. Phillips or Orlando Shakes. We like to do a lot of off-Broadway regional premieres, world premieres, and small cast, lesser known musicals to give people a different entertainment option. And so that really has attracted a huge visitor market.
Let's talk about the importance of arts and culture to the region and to the broader culture at large. What do you think that arts and culture offer?
I think that arts and culture is critical for quality of life. I think it is a part of every single person's life, even if they say, I'm not really a theater person or I'm not really arts. If you ask them, did you listen to music growing up? Did you play an instrument? Did you paint? Did you dance? I mean, so many of us have, and it's the one thing in the world that unites people. And being a live performance theater where people from all backgrounds, all political views, all races, ethnicities, genders, all the things, ages, can come together and forget their troubles and find joy and escapism. And I just can't emphasize enough how very important that is. Now, more than ever, people are stressed out, you know, and we love and are proud to be one of those arts and cultural cornerstones in Orange County that can provide that. Yeah, I think art is just really the central part of humanity.
Did I hear that you also offer educational opportunities?
We do. We have an extraordinary community outreach program. Remember the cartoon Schoolhouse Rock?
Yes.
So Schoolhouse Rock Live Junior, we take that out to Title I elementary schools. And in any given year, we serve between typically 10,000, sometimes more, sometimes a little less if the schools are smaller, and we bring it to them for free. And we chose to go out into the community because it's really, really challenging for children, especially in Title I schools and underrepresented communities, to get field trip slips and lunches and logistics of buses. So we talked to a lot of educators and they said, if you can come to us, that would be grand. So we have been doing that since 2009. That's under an umbrella called REACH, Relevant Educational Arts for Children. Then we have one called SHARE, and that's Senior Health Arts Enrichment. And that we take live performances out to senior living facilities, daycare, and long-term care. Sometimes they are economically disadvantaged apartments for seniors, homebound seniors, things like that. And we specifically focus on music that helps to bring back memories. A lot of our patronage have some memory challenges, and it's really, really impactful to see these beautiful seniors who may, some of them aren't even responsive sometimes, but as soon as a song, Judy Garland or Fred Astaire or something from the past comes on, they come to life. And we've had more and more and more caregivers and nurses and administrators witness this and tell us how important it is. So all of these programs are really, really important. We do them year round. Obviously, we'll do more as we can afford to pay for these programs because we really believe in doing them for free.
So now that you have this amazing new facility, what are you going to do with it? What's next?
Oh, wow. Well, we launched our first series, our 24th anniversary series of musicals in August. The first Friday is the official opening night in August, and it's called Never Can Say Goodbye, the Beehive 70s musical. And we actually chose the title appropriately because, you know, we don't go down without a fight. We thought we might be saying goodbye, but here we are. We made it to the other side. And it's a fabulous, high-energy 70s musical, seven fierce women singing the songs of the 70s. That's going to have a lot of movement and a lot of music and a live band. And so we run that the month of August. And then we have the Rat Pack Lounge next, which is a wonderful musical comedy. And we have a funny holiday show called Christmas Survival Guide. So that's our fall lineup. We've got three more shows for spring. We have our Spotlight Cabaret series kicking off in August with Natalie Cordone. We've got all kinds of programming. Just stay tuned.
That was Winter Park Playhouse Executive Director and co-founder Heather Alexander. I'm Nicole Darden-Creston. Thanks for listening to Spotlight.